Okay? You hear me? A little higher? Okay. A little better? Maybe David has to pull it up. I'd rather have it lower and him put the sound up a little higher. You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so you can guess where we are from that song, I think. Where we are in our study of the book of Colossians. And this section of the book of Colossians, well, I guess in certain ways we could say this a lot about the Bible, but in particular these verses that we've been going through, I'm tempted to just speak because there's so much fullness in these verses and what they proclaim about one verse every time I speak, but I can't do that. So that's why you guys have to be good Bereans and spend your own time in this section of Colossians and the Word of God, because it speaks to every Christian in every age, and it has the, like the Bible does, it has the answers to all the riddles to life. If we look at it properly, we look at it from this perspective, really, of the author. I'm waiting here, because who is the author? Well, Paul, but the Holy Spirit's the author. And he speaks to every age, and there's an answer for every problem right here in these pages, in particular today, because we're facing many of the same problems. And we said that chapters 1 and 2 of the book of Colossians are mainly doctrinal, and 3 and 4 mainly have application. But we'll find today there's plenty of crossover in these sections. Because you really can't have one without the other. But this is the message today, and it's that song, and that would be the title of the message, Jan, that we are complete, or you are, in the way you put it, we're complete in Him. We are complete in Him. And so let's go ahead and read, beginning at verse 8, where we left off verse 7 before, and let's read verse 8 through 15, chapter 2 of the book of Colossians. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. In Him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He has made alive together with Him, having forgiven all of your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over it. Lord, we thank You for Your word and the power and the reality of Your word. Lord, help us apprehend a little bit more of Yourself today, see a little bit more of Your heart for Your people, especially in this era that we're living in, Lord. We need answers. And we thank You that You provide us with answers, Lord. Just keep us rooted together, firmly in Your love, established in the faith, as You say here, Lord. Just even overflowing with Your life. So help us now as we go through Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So in verse 2, last time, I love this saying, because this is actually which I believe from the Word of God should be the desire of everyone who preaches Christ. A little phrase in here that I see often in Paul's writings, that their hearts may be encouraged. So that is our goal today, is that if you're coming in a little low, a little flat, a little depressed maybe, that God helps us and we walk away just a little more encouraged in Christ. The other thing in verse 2 that we talked about last time is our hearts being knit together in love. Just the idea of the love of Christ shed in our hearts, but also the fact that in fellowship, our hearts are knit together, built together with every believer. I know it's hard to even say these things, but who's ever lived or whoever will live somehow, it's a mystery. We're part of an organic building, sort of speak. And it's one why, you know, the importance of Christian fellowship. But attaining to the riches of full assurance. Now, I think if we're an honest Christian, which I'm, as somebody said in their prayers, everyone here about something, but I think everyone has struggled with full assurance, that term. Full assurance that you're fully saved, you're fully in Him, you're fully acceptable to Him. We're going to be talking about that today. And hopefully, by God's grace, some of that will be kind of wiped away out of our thinking today, at least as we leave, and hopefully into the week and months and years ahead even. We struggle with this, but God helps us with this because of the truth of His Word. In this idea of abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I've said this before, humor me in that you let me say stories more than once here as a preacher, but when an impression is made upon you and you remember something, it doesn't leave you for the rest of your life, especially if it's a good thing. Now, I couldn't have been more than 7 or 8, and we had a neighbor, I remember, who must have been well connected, because he took me to all kinds of sporting events as I was growing up. He had front row seats, so to speak, at every event. And I don't remember if it was a Golden State Warriors game, to be honest, because of my age, or it was an AFC championship game, maybe between the Jets and the Raiders at the time.
Wow.
That he took me to. Actually, I had front row seats between the Lakers and the Warriors. I remember Wilt Chamberlain and all those guys running up and down when I was about this big and watching them run right by me on the front row seat. Well, I remember the very first time I went with this neighbor and they took me to some game. And I was so excited, you know, as a young person. I got out of the car and just ran into the house. Didn't say a word to the parent that it dropped me off. And so I came into the house and I sat down and my dad sat down with me and he looked at me and he says, I witnessed what just happened with you when you got out of the car. He said, well, what do you mean? He says, you never even said thank you to them. You never even told them how much you appreciated what they did for you. So after dinner tonight, you've got a job to do. Now you gotta remember, I'm very young. And this is why it made such an impression on me. Here's your job. You're going to call up, I forget the gentleman's first name. His name, last name was Munger. And he says, you're going to talk to Mr. Munger, and you're going to apologize. You're going to tell him you're sorry. And you're going to also tell him how grateful you were for taking you on this trip. Now here's the thing, children are wonderful, okay? They're just beautiful. I love children. I'm a kids person. I just can't get enough kids, so to speak. We were with our grandkids yesterday. But Here's the deal, which I've witnessed with children and with myself. They are born ungrateful. They expect you, from when they start crying, to just serve them nonstop. So this is something I believe in the Christian life. We've been given all. And we hear it by God's grace that we're able to be giving thanks. This is something we need to praise the Lord for. But this is what he's saying here, is we need to give thanks. I'm sorry, I'm referencing verse 7 now, okay? Rooted up and built in him and established in the faith, see that you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Okay, so I'm taking the last part first of this verse, if you allow me to do that. The giving of thanks, because it gives perspective to everything. You know, it gives perspective in the Christian life, because there are a lot of bad things that happen in life. You know, we'd be ignorant to say there isn't. But we have answers in this. And one of the answers is, no matter how dark the days are, that we find grace in God's eyes to give thanks. Amen. This is important.
Amen.
Amen. So let's go to the first part of the verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 13. I love the book of Matthew. It's been wonderful. I feel like, I'm sure everyone can say this who's going through your different Bible studies, but you feel like you discover a book of the Bible for a whole nother time. I never saw that. I didn't see this, you know, in other scenes, but this is the beauty of Bible studies. So Matthew 13, 5 through 6. I'm just going to read these two verses. Some fell on the stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root. They withered away. Now, rooted up and built up in him and established in the faith. Now, we had been waiting for many years, I don't know how many years, Jan, 20 years, to landscape our business of all places. So we decided we would landscape our business. We hired a professional. I'm very happy with how we did, except for one area, the hedges. So we have a small section that's probably 2 feet wide. Is that about right, Jan? 2 feet wide, maybe three, where there's soil, and there's not a lot of soil in there. So you see what he said? Because the depth of earth here is what the Lord said in Matthew. And so these hedges were planted, I don't know, May or April, something like that. And they seemed to flourish for a while. But then we got, I think we put plenty of water on them, but we got scorched earth, so to speak. We got I think in the, I don't know when it was, at the end of June or the beginning of July, we had like 8 or 9 days in a row of 100 degrees or close to it. Well, those things got smoked. Two reasons. The roots had not been established. They had not gone down far enough. And in the soil also, it had a lack of depth to it, like the Lord's saying here in Matthew 13. But what Paul is saying and trying to encourage the saints is that in answers in today's world where we are, we have to be rooted up and built in him, built together, as we said in verse 2, and established in the faith. Now, that's an interesting term, because we're going to talk about that, of what we have in Christ and how we're complete in him and how we've received the fullness of God here in verse 9 and 10. But here it's being established in the faith. So, in other words, I like the verse, and we've heard it many times, the just will what?
Live by faith.
Now, that's not a fairy tale. That's real. We know this to be true because we can't really apprehend things in the Christian life unless we live by faith. Because if we live by sight and we live by emotions, we live by what's happening to us, we're going to wither away. We're going to burn up. And that's where we're going to find ourselves. Now, the Lord can recover us still, as we're going to talk about. And I love, there's one thing, in fact, Kathy said it, I think, is Jan and Kathy were having dinner on Friday night and before the Bible study, and I came in for about 5 minutes before the Bible study. And she said, you know, there's always one thing we can take from the conference, and it's that I think somebody had shared with her that God can recover all, can use everything to redeem every situation for his own sake. That was a wonderful message that came from Ed. But when I think of the just shall live by faith, for me, I'm a person of, there's certain stories in the Bible, again, that just capture me. One of them is Joseph of Arimathea. You know what it called Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible? It's only a few people in the entire Word of God. He was a just man, is what the Word of God proclaimed. Now, why is he just? The just will live by faith. He was a member of the council. As a member of the council, he gave up his old life. It's such a wonderful picture of notoriety, probably. He was a rich man, you know, with a rich man in his death, is what it says, the scripture. Joseph Arimathea was a very rich man. He probably gave that up, a lot of it, to come forward in faith and ask for the body of the Lord Jesus. Just imagine if he didn't do that. He was God's man in the hour, so to speak. He walked by faith. He was in the shadows for a long time. He didn't come forward, but when it mattered most, he came forward. So abounding in it, establishing the faith, abounding in it. So we're going to talk a little bit more. What is abounding in the faith? Hopefully this will be clear to everyone as we get to the end of the message today. One of the beware verses, which are fairly common in the book of Colossians, is verse 8. Let's read that again. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, not according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy or empty deceit. Now, you know what? I don't know when it happened, how it happened. I'm going to tell you another story here. But when I was about 16 or 17 at the time, and I had got fired from my job as a gas station attendant. That's a whole nother story I won't bore you with. But, and so I was reading the LA Times. Key and there was no internet at the time. So you had to read in the LA Times. You wanted to look for jobs offered, right, Bob? This is how you go about looking for jobs. And I saw in there, you can make a lot of money. A lot. That appealed to me as a 16 or 17 year old. And no experience necessary. Well, that fit me at that age. And you know what it was? It sell Kirby vacuum cleaners. So I said, okay, I'll take that job. And I went in there and they give you this whole spiel. But let me tell you what it really is. You just try to cheat people out of their money. I'm just simplifying what it really is. And you would give them gifts as you went in the door, and you would do all these different things and all that. And I probably went on 20 different, you know, calls, and I sold one to my grandfather. So I was selling something, you know, that really nobody needed. And there's a lot of places out there, unfortunately, and we need to have a keen ear, especially with our beloved people that we're in fellowship with, wherever they might be, that they're not in a place where Christ is not being preached, but they're preaching something else, a deceiving gospel. See, the heretics of the day in the Gnostic time were preaching all kinds of things. They were preaching mysticism. They were preaching angels and intermediaries. There's others who are preaching ritual, we can see from this book. Some Jewish rituals, some pagan rituals were being mixed in. We know this area was known for a worship of angels. So they're preaching that other things were needed. Well, maybe a different kind of gospel, in my opinion, is preaching that we need a priest to serve God, when really the Word of God proclaims we're all priests in the house of God. You know that the Puritans, I did a little bit of reading, I'm not a historian like half of you, especially Ralph here and others, but one of the reasons they escaped England is all they wanted to do was study the Bible on their own. Basically have home Bible studies and not tell, they wanted to be able to study the Word of God. They were told you couldn't study it on your own. You needed to hear it from the priest, so to speak. And there's other philosophies of that age and this age. Now think of it. We're suffering through some of the crazy philosophies today. There's a woman athlete I read last night. And I don't know who she is, but a professional soccer team, that she would not wear this flag with all the symbols on it. I don't even know all the symbols, but, you know, which it talks about whatever it is, all different types of things. You know what I'm alluding to. It's some kind of rainbow flag, but it's all inclusive. So that's one thing that's being preached sometimes. Well, we have to accommodate. And what gets left out is Jesus. And I'll tell you another one, which is a big one today, is social justice. Now, that's another form of gospel. I read, there's somebody in the San Gabriel Valley, I read an article in the newspaper where he's surprised that today's churches, more people aren't preaching a social justice gospel. Actually said that. We don't need to preach a social justice gospel because we know. We can just read the Bible. You know what happens to the human heart, right? The book of Philemon is what happens to the human heart. You've got a slave and a slave owner who all of a sudden are equal brothers in Christ. How can it be? This is what we need. Jesus is the answer in every age. Another one that we've got to deal with and we have to be armed for, I know a brother up in the Bay Area, he moved recently, but he said that, told me in particular that one day a student came into his class, sat down in front of him, his name has been John for 4 years or whatever, and he told him that my name now is Betty. And he said if he doesn't call him Betty, that he will lose his job instantly. Now, there was a teacher recently that fought this, but and won, actually, at the college level. Don't want to go into any of that. But these earthly philosophies, and I want to say this, always have a half-truth in them. Social gospel has a half-truth. The gospel of inclusion has a half-truth, okay? But they're not the full truth that is found in Christ. Because there are always other things besides Jesus that appeal to the flesh. But the answers of Christ and Christ alone is always positive. I'm going to just say that. We can't combat what's in the earth with a negative message. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't touch, you can't, you know, whatever. That doesn't work. We know that. Peter said in that we can't live life that way. But Christ and Christ alone is all that's needed, is what Paul is saying to the Gnostics, and as Paul is saying to us. Let's move on. Verse 9. We'll get to our key verse soon here. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The word again is pleroma. It's a Greek word for God, for the deity. The fullness of God dwells in the Lord Jesus. And you know what? Gnostics didn't believe that. They did not believe that. They denied the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Now, churches that are oftentimes drift away from the simplicity of the gospel, you start preaching other things, and the pastor ends up being taken away with foolish philosophies. They didn't believe that Christ came in a physical body. Also, the Gnostics didn't. Now, what did Thomas say? Excuse me. What did Jesus say to Thomas when he appeared? I guess it was 11 at the time, right? He appeared to all 11 at once then, didn't he? I think. Guys, you can help me with that. I'm going from memory. But what did he tell Thomas to do? Put your hands on me. Put your hands in my side. Put your hands and stretch forth and touch me. He proved that he was God in the flesh. Again, let me just repeat it. I know you'll be patient with me. Is that all that we need to live the Christian life is found in Christ Jesus. Amen. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. John 1:16 says this, and of his fullness we all have received. Now, let's just repeat that. We need to let it sink in a little bit. John 1:16, and of his fullness we all, that means the moment we believe, we've all received grace for grace. So we're going to come back to that. Let's move on to our key verse, which is verse 10. For you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And we're going to say that verses 11 through 15 are going to prove how we are complete in him, how we have the fullness of God. That's a big statement. These are big statements, Paul. These are absolute statements that Paul is making about the person of the Lord Jesus and about you and about me and about us together as God's people. That's a big statement. You are complete in him. You see, Johnny, or whatever his name was, who identifies as Betty now, that all they're doing is crying out and saying that I'm not complete. I need this to be complete. All we're saying is that this is really the cry of every human heart. Every human heart has a desire to feel complete. I believe that. I believe God innately put that in the human heart. Every heart. I don't care who that is. That's why our doors are open to everybody. Everyone, I believe, has a lack of feeling complete. And the answers are right here. Paul's addressing that. This is the psychology for that day that was needed, and the psychology for today. Is Paul's going to show us how we are complete in him. Now I want to go, and I hope you'll be a little bit patient with me as we go. We're going to go on a little journey through the Word of God. Hopefully this is going to make sense. I want us to go to Acts chapter 3. Beginning in verse 16. And this is the story, the wonderful story of Peter and John coming across the lame man who was healed. Okay? And verse 16 says this, and his name, he's talking about how he was healed, and his name, through faith in his name, there's the active agreement, has made this man strong whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This perfect soundness in the presence of all of the witnesses. Let's turn over to Same story is still going on here. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, this is when he's brought before the Sadducees and the priests, and filled with the Holy Spirit, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, hold on. If this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, that's every one of us, by what means has he been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. One more, same concept. Matthew again, chapter 9, verse 22. For she said to herself, if I may only touch his garment, I will be made well. And Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. And I'm going to use the word whole, just like it was in the book of Acts. And the woman was made well or whole from that very hour. Now, these physical healings, I believe, have a spiritual counterpart. And that's every one of us, children of God. That we've been made complete in him. Or we've been made, another word for it is we've been made whole in him. In him alone now. This is what I'm going to say. Let me say it one more time for repeating. In him alone. No other way. The agent was our faith, but we're complete in him. Let me put it another way. The way God sees us, and we've heard this before, but the moment we believed, we are made complete in him. It's not after a journey of us being complete in him 30 years down the road. No, I believe it means this, is that we're complete in him the moment we believe. Paul put it this way, if any man is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Now, to apprehend this takes faith in itself to believe that. But that's the declaration of the Word of God. Now, we have to back that up, and there's so many backups to this. Ezekiel 11:19. I know some of us have this memorized. Then I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within them and take their stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, a stony heart for a heart of flesh by God's Spirit that he put into his people. Again, John 1:16 that we just read, because I think this follows up verse 9 of the book of Colossians. And of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So, I already let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, but this is a good question to ask ourselves and probably to ask ourselves every day when we get up in the morning. When were we made complete in him? When were we given a new nature? When were we given a new heart? Well, what did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. It's done from his perspective. This is hard. We're not hardwired to think like this when we're raised as children in school. We go up through family life, even though we're brought up in a Christian life. This isn't how we think. But this is what God declares. Well, you might ask yourselves, well, I woke up this morning, why do I still sin? And that's a good, honest question. But we know in Romans chapter 7, and I'm encouraging you, I don't have time because I'd have to go on for another hour here. And I know this isn't the point of our meetings, or they'd even be smaller. Okay? But here's the point, is Paul talked about this problem, about being vexed, actually, by his own nature, by the way he was raised. Things got in the problem. But you know what the answer is? And finally, he comes to in this discourse in Romans chapter 7. He talks about having the old nature, which is warring against the new nature, in essence, in this great conflict. It is a spiritual conflict. He says this, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind, or can we just insert in here, the new creation, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, the problem, if I can simplify it, is not with God's perspective, it's our perspective. Many of the things, you see, there's a little term Paul said, I've struggled with this term when Paul talks about this through his letters. He says, because they sinned in ignorance. Remember reading that a bunch of times? They sinned in ignorance. You know what I think he's saying? I'm getting a little bit of light on this. He sinned in ignorance because we don't see God's perspective on what's going on in life. We're looking at it from our perspective, not God's perspective. Because God declares the day we believe, we've been made perfectly well. Now, don't you think that those people, the woman, the lame man, that they struggled after they were healed by the Lord and touched by the Lord in this tent, just like we do? They did. That wasn't, they were healed and all of a sudden they never sinned again. That's not the message. See, I think that this truth, that we're complete in Him from God's perspective, past, present, and future, is reality therapy. It's psychology, so to speak, for the Christian. We need to take this, and we need to now apprehend it, is what God is declaring. We need to apprehend it and believe it by faith, just like the moment we just believed. Now, what do I mean? I mean, we have to believe in God's perspective. God declares it from His Word, so what is it? I want you to say it. God declares it from His Word, so what is it?
True.
It's true. It's reality therapy. Because we have the flesh, the world, and the devil to contend with. And we need the Word of God. We need Jesus only. Now, what of those three honest Christians, which is the one who gives us the most trouble?
Flesh.
What?
Flesh.
The flesh. It really does, I believe. We've got Christ on our side. This is, now, let me put it another way about this idea of God's perspective of us being complete in Him. Can we be any more saved than the first day we were saved?
No.
Well, we get that pretty clear. For those of us that are still married, okay, can I be any more married to my wife than the day I was first married? You can't. See, that's God's perspective. The work of Christ is finished. From God's perspective, we're complete in Him. And really, every answer to life, every riddle to life, and we're all going through some difficult ones, some of us more difficult than others, that we have trials we have to continually wake up to and go through. This is the only reality therapy that's going to help. It is God's perspective. We're complete in Him. Now, many believers walk out of the truth of this concept Well, what do I mean? Well, I have found, and I've said this before, I've found few believers that will deny the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how bad they are in sin, no matter how far they've fallen away from God's people, how far they are to the left. Very few. In fact, I can only say in my heart, really, one that I've ever met that says they want nothing to do with Jesus, don't believe in that anymore, that kind of thing. You see? But there's something I believe they're living out of the good of, that everything in life that is worth owning is found in Christ. You know, I just read something somewhere, somebody just posted another one of these things of 10 stories of the, maybe some of you read it, 10 stories of people that won the lottery. And there were 10 tragedies, every one of them. Because they believed, like a lot of us do that are in the rat race, chasing things instead of chasing him, is that there's a fullness in life somewhere else. We're going to be complete, you know, on the grass is greener on the other side. I mean, you just got to move out of California. That's all you have to do. Have you heard this one? Just got to move out somewhere else. Because California, they're going to make you wear a mask. They're going to do this, that, and the other. They're a bunch of communists, you know. Whatever. I don't like a lot of stuff going on myself, to be honest. But moving out of the States, not the answer. Residing in Christ, being complete in him and knowing it and giving thanks for it, for that. See, many of our young people, our children, saints that have fallen away, they've lost one thing in their life. They're chasing other things. If they believed they were complete in him, you'd stay home, so to speak. You would know. There's no other place that I can go. And you know what I'm saying right now, true. When you hear the word of God, you're in God's presence. God draws near to you as you read the word of God, whatever it might be. He touches you in your work life. He answers different prayers. He does miraculous things. I've heard it over and over again. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. That's a wonderful thing. That's a contented life that can only be found in Christ Jesus. See, we are complete in him. We can lose the whole world, but what happens? We don't lose him. Now, here's the funny thing. Think about it. There's third world countries where they have very little possessions, but people that really love the Lord and their lives are put on the line and a gun's put at their head, even on a firing line. I've read some of these stories. And they ask them to renounce the Lord Jesus Christ. Inevitably, you know what the answer is? Won't do it. Go ahead, pull the trigger. Come on, guys. This is the kind of God we serve. All they're proclaiming with all the saints before is we're complete in him. I'm not giving him up. I can lose the whole world, but I am not going to lose him. He's with me to the end of the age, so to speak. It's wonderful. So again, it's not how we feel or even how we act at times is what is our true identity from God's perspective. But it's going to take, now let me switch the switch a little bit and talk about apprehending. As he said back here, established in the faith. It takes faith to take the word of God over our flesh. I mean, just putting it in a simple way. It takes faith to believe what we sense in our hearts. Because, let me make it clear another way. We have a new creation, but we still have Adam. So we got to allow Adam to be overruled, so to speak, by trusting our faith. There's the complete victory again. And I'm going to quickly go over these verses, 11 through 15, and we'll probably come back to them next time. And I'll just summarize what they say in general. Let's read these now. Because Jesus is the head of all principality and powers, it says, after we're completed him. In him, verse 11, you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working who raised him from the dead. So there it is. There's proof of we're complete in him, is that we have a complete salvation. And let me just summarize at a glance so I don't go here. Verse 13 and 14. And you being dead, now that's something that God has done too. Let's just make that clear. It's not something we did, this circumcision. Now they were being told, right? And we even know this out of the book of Acts. They were being told that to continue in the faith, you had to be circumcised if you're an unbeliever. Some people were preaching that gospel. Paul's showing here that that's not true. We can even see with Abraham that wasn't true. That's a whole nother story. But that circumcision was made without human hands. That was the Lord who did it for every believer. When did it happen again, guys? The moment we believed. Very clear. These are the answers to the heresies of the day. 13 and 14. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, he is made alive with him, having forgiven all of your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, that was taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. There's complete forgiveness. We said we're complete in him. Complete salvation, complete forgiveness, past, present, future. Hard to believe again, but we have to apprehend what God says. Like that song says, what the Lord did in saying it's finished is far greater than all of our sin, no matter what it is. Verse 15, we'll end with this. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. A complete victory over, I want to say this again with purpose, the flesh, the devil, and the world. All three. Right there. Public spectacle. Now, when Christ died, we know that we died with him, as it says in the Word of God. When Christ rose, we rose with him. That's the picture of baptism. Now, as we read these things, I would like to read this, and again, I hope it makes some sense. Because this first struck me out of the book of Hebrews as I was reading last week or the week before. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. Now let me tell you something. This is not found in the Old Testament. You can look it up. But it was passed, it's found in the New Testament. You know what it is? It's true. Paul wrote it. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, it was passed down verbally through the generations of the Jewish people that he sprinkled both the book and all the people. We're going to need, this is just a picture of the blood of Christ and how powerful it is. As we read the book, we need the blood. As we hear God's word, we need the blood. As we fellowship with one another, we need the blood. If we're going to have victory in the Christian life and believe from our perspective now, our perspective, that we're complete in him, we're going to need the blood. Because the devil's going to bring accusations. Our flesh will bring accusations. See, the law, as Paul said in Romans 7, we want to serve God with the mind, but our flesh wants to go the other way. We need his grace. We need every truth that's proclaimed here in the book of Colossians and in so many other places. Because by faith, we've been made complete in him. Initial faith. By faith, we're going to apprehend a practical faith that we're complete in him. Those are two different things. Two very succinct and clearly different things. By faith, we have to walk the Christian life. We don't have what it takes. I like what, again, this is one from a different conference that I took from what Ed Miller said. He says, don't kid yourself. Only Jesus walks the Christian life. That's encouraging. So by faith, may God help us live in the reality of what God proclaims in this amazing section of the Word of God.